It says, in the same way, verse 28, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man is actually loving himself when he loves his wife. I mean, I asked a guy one night down at Dallas. A guy walked in. I said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "I got a brain tumor." I said, "Have you repented of every sin?" He said, "Yes." I looked over at his wife, and I looked at him, and I said, "How's your and her love walk?" He said, "It's okay." I looked over at her. I said, "How's your love walk with him?" And immediately, she burst into tears and started crying. I didn't need any more words. I knew their love walk was miserable. I knew he was not loving her, and he wasn't loving himself. Since he wasn't loving her, he had a grudge against her, and he's got a brain tumor. I said, "Sir, I don't know what your wife did, but your love walk, I can see, is not where it should be. And that's why you have that brain tumor. You're not loving yourself." I said, "Now, you want to die early?" "No." I said, "Well, if you don't ask your wife to forgive you and start walking in love with her and treating her like a lady, I said, I'm going to guarantee you that brain tumor is going to kill you." I said, "Then I want to tell you something else. Not only is that brain tumor going to kill you, but," I said, "are you going to forgive her?" He said, "No." Wow. I said, "Okay, then not only is the brain tumor going to kill you, but your unforgiveness toward her is going to carry you into hell. Because God says if you don't forgive her, he's not going to forgive you. And there ain't going to be no impure thing in heaven." So I said, "If you think you're a Christian, and you think that you're not going to forgive your wife for whatever she did, and you've already brought a brain tumor on yourself because you're not loving your wife, so you're not loving yourself, and God clearly said in His Word, you must love me first, your neighbor, as yourself." Did He say that?
Yes, sir.
So if you don't love yourself, you're sinning against God.
Amen.
Anything you do that's not according to the Word of God is sin.
Amen.
So if you're not loving yourself, it's sin. And it's bringing a devastating tumor in your brain. And the doctor says they're not going to be able to get it out of there. And he's a young man, probably in his mid-30s. And the doctor says you're probably going to die. This thing's inoperable. So why does a man come to a man of God at that point? The doctor can't help. "I heard about a healing ministry. Let's go out there." And I had his answer. But you know what that young man told me that night? "I am not forgiving her." I said, "I can't help you." I said, "I've told you that if you don't forgive her, you're not loving yourself, you're not loving your wife, you have a grudge against her." I said, "That's what's brought the brain tumor on. If you don't forgive, I'm going to guarantee you the brain tumor is going to kill you in a very short period of time. And I'm also going to guarantee you that because you won't forgive her, when you die, you'll not get to go to heaven. You're going to hell." He said, "I'm washed in the blood and I'm going to heaven." I said, "Don't bet on it. Don't bet on it." See, we think, once we walk through the doors of salvation, we can just do anything we want to do, and God's grace will forgive us, and we can get to heaven. That's not what the book says. I would hate... I told him, I said, "Sir, I may be wrong." But I said, "I do know I'm not wrong about where Jesus clearly said, if you do not forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart, I will not forgive you." I mean, that's written. Several places that's written. I said, "Now, the only thing he didn't say is he didn't say that if you don't forgive, you'll not get to come to heaven. But he said, anybody that does all of these things, he'll not inherit the kingdom of God." So he didn't actually name unforgiveness. But I said, it sure fits the category. So I said, "You want to take a chance on being wrong with your life?" He said, "I ain't forgiving her." And he walked out. I never prayed for him or nothing. I don't have a clue what happened to that young man. He may be dead and in hell today. But if he's dead and in hell today, he's saying, "Oh, God, give me one more chance to go back up here to that preacher." No, I'm sorry. You can't have one more chance. Did he have a chance? Yes, God brought him over there. I told him the truth. Would he accept it? No. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives. How are we supposed to love our wives, guys? Like Christ loved the church? Did he lay down his life for the church?
Yes,
do you love your wife like that? Will you give your life for your wife? If you wouldn't, you need to repent and tell God, I'm sorry. Lord, I will do that. I love her that much. For a man is actually loving himself when he loves his wife. Now, if God said a man's loving himself when he loves his wife, you need to love your wife, right?
Amen.
Because if you're not loving yourself, you're in sin. Wow, that's something. Now then, verse 29 and 30. No one hates his own body, but lovingly cares for it, just as Christ cares for his body, which is the church, and we are his body. Verse 31 and 32. As the scripture says, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery. It is a great mystery. But it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. Now, I don't understand that great mystery. But I know I can understand when a man and a woman sexually become one. I can understand that. That's the way children come into the world and everything else. I can understand that principle. I can't grasp the fact that the two tiny little pieces that are microscopic in size that come together makes a human being. That's beyond me. But God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. I mean, yeah, I see all this scientific. I see how the cells multiply and all those things. And I know God does a great and awesome work there. But that's beyond me. You know, beyond me. You know, how God can put that and make that into a little tiny human being. And in 9 months, a beautiful, healthy little child comes out if mom and daddy are walking in obedience to God's word. If they're not, hey, you can have all kinds of children. Handicapped, mentally retarded, you can have all kinds of stuff. If there's all kinds of sin involved, you can bring forth children that's not going to be a blessing to you. And do we see that happening all over the place? I mean, we see mothers on drugs and everything else. It's so sad what's happening today. And God promised in His Word, if you will obey me and do everything I say, I will bless you and your children to how many generations? 1,000 generations. But He said, if you don't, I will curse you and your children. He only said, I will curse you to the 4th generation and your children, unless you bring a child into the world out of wedlock. Then He said in Deuteronomy 23:2, I will curse that family line for 10 generations. So when God says no sexual immorality among the church, you think He means what He said? Obviously He does. But He said this is a great mystery, but is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So we are one with Him. I mean, just like when a man and a woman are married in their union, how they become one. So that's so we should be with the Lord all the time. We should stay in Him all the time. His Word should be in us. And verse 33, let's see what that says. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Now, if there's a whole lot of scriptures, and I'm going to go to one other place. We're not going to have near the time I wanted to go through these. But I'm going to go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, and cover those few verses, because those also are very important about wives and husbands. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 12, and it says here, in the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands, even those who refuse to accept the good news. Now then, if you're married and your husband is not a believer, and he ask you to do things, you are to accept his authority. You're still to submit to that man. Now, if that man tells you to do something that is totally against God's word, then you don't have to do it. In other words, if he tells you, I want you to go down and I want you to go to work in this club down here, and I want you to become a strip dancer. No, you don't. I'm a Christian. I don't have to do that. In that case, you do not have to obey your husband. Now, if your husband tells you to do something stupid like that, if it's contrary to God's word, you do not have to. Now then, if he's mean and abusive, and you're a Christian and he's not, God even gives you an out for a divorce there. He says, if you cannot live with him in peace, you're legally, you can divorce your husband. But at least give it a chance. Try to make it work.
Amen.
Spend some time on your knees before God. Spend some time with God. Don't just, first of all, too many women today go out and get married and they look at some guy and say, ooh, he's a good businessman. He wears a nice suit, or he's a hard worker. He drives a nice car. And ooh, and she kind of flirts around with him and he asks her for a date and they go out on a date. She's a Christian. The first thing he wants to do is have sex with her. And she says, yes. And they have sex and then they go together for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years. And finally, one day she said, well, why don't we get married? He said, no, ain't no use in us getting married. You know, I've got the cow and the milk too, and it's all free. So why do I need to marry you? If I marry you, then I might have to give you some of my wealth. I don't want to split it up with you. So he won't marry her. And you wonder why we got so much sickness and disease. But if you do marry one of those guys, the Lord says you have to submit to him. Is that what he said?
Amen.
If you live with him, you have to submit to your husband. Even to those who refuse to accept the good news. Your godly life will speak to them better than any words. Your godly life. A godly life. Let your husband see you praying for him. I mean, you know, be a godly woman. If he comes in and blows up, don't blow up back at him. You know, be nice and gentle. I guess I should say, if you're a Christian wife and you got a Christian husband and he's had a bad day at work and he comes in and blows up, that don't give you legal right to blow up at him either, does it? No, of course not. You're supposed to love him, supposed to submit to him. Both of you are not supposed to have a bad day the same day. If both of you have a bad day the same day, then that's when we have sure enough problems. So don't go there. Be a bigger man or woman than that. See, your godly lives will speak to them better than any words. They will be won over by watching your pure godly behavior. Now, if you walk in that pure godly behavior, you can win your husband over. I've seen it happen many times. Verse 3 and 4. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty that depends on fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. I know some of you girls, you know, you just can't. Oh, my goodness, you just can't. Go anywhere if you're not dressed.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106, and we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.